Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in California, and today is Tuesday, June 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 47, the first paragraph at the very top. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, through one paragraph ending, however limited it was. Today's readers are, we have Susan G. for the 12 Steps, Mary S., 12 Traditions, Luann C. for the Big Book section, Chanel T. for the Vision for You, page 169, Dana P. for Backup, Alex K. for Newcomer Greeter, and Robin P. for Announcements. Thank you all. Thank you, Team Tuesday. The reference numbers for Monday, June 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern is 23,571, that's 23571. And for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 23,573, 23573. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now we'll have the steps, and I am asking Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps are, one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me get service this month, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. And everyone, please make sure you're muted unless you're doing service at this moment. And that is Mary S. reading the 12 traditions. Mary, please unmute.
Oops, on my part. Good morning, Mary S., New Mexico. The 12 traditions, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to your topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. A quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 47 at the top of the page, the first paragraph, starting with when, therefore, we speak to you of God, through one paragraph ending, however limited it was. And I'll now ask Luann C. to please begin reading and then share.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for your service. And good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, usually in Boise, but today I'm in my home state of California. I'm very happy. Okay. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies, too, to other spiritual expressions, which you'll find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterwards, we found ourselves accepting many things, which then seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth, but if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. Yeah, I just love this paragraph. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's such an appeal to us to, you know, really find out what do we really believe in. And when I came in to the first 12 steps that I did, the God I knew about was hidden behind dogma and ritual and was mysterious and absolutely inaccessible. You know, I thought what you were supposed to do was pray earnestly for outcomes. And, you know, I even before program went on what I called the God diet, and I prayed for 2 hours every morning. And, you know, it really worked great for about 6 weeks, but I didn't have the allergy piece yet. So when I went on vacation, you know, it all fell apart. And what I concluded was that there is no accessible God. And, you know, this thing wasn't going to work. So I had been on the right track, but it took this program to put all the pieces together. But I just think this is such a clutch paragraph. You know, he's really appealing to someone who just can't accept their present conception of God, and probably one they inherited. And I just love where he says, you know, just honestly ask what the terms mean to me, my honest questions. And when I honestly started asking questions to this power, it led to the beginning of a relationship that I had not been able to even conceive of, you know, that I could ask questions and get guidance on all my whole life, and a feeling of belonging and have a place in this world. I mean, I don't feel like I'm being batted around by every circumstance in by people or in the world. You know, God is so accessible to me now. And I have a deep sense of always being connected to this friend who always seems to be happy to hear from me. I mean, it's a Festivus miracle, I'm telling you, over here. So anyway, I encourage anybody to just keep going, and I sure am excited to hear from everybody else. So thanks for letting me share on this paragraph. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. Okay, so now is the time for your shares. And although we valued your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please make space for others to share. So please share your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from.
Margaret
Lisa L. Kara L.
Okay, I heard two people before Kara L.
Margaret O.
Lisa
Margaret
in Connecticut.
O. So I have Margaret O in Connecticut. And then one other person after Margaret.
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Yes.
Great, thank you. So I have Margaret O, Lisa N, Kara L. Who else would like to share?
A from Iowa.
Say that again, from Iowa.
K from Iowa.
Okay, K. And what's your last
initial?
S, as in serenity.
Okay, and your line's a little kind of hard to hear you. Okay, who's after K?
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ, California. Okay, well,
Mary,
we'll start with that lineup.
Oops.
Sorry, who was that?
Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania.
Mary Frances W., great. Okay, so I have Margaret O., Lisa N., Kara L., K.S., Mary Lee R., Nancy LJ., and Mary Frances W. Okay, so that's quite a lineup. If everyone please mute, and we'll start with Margaret O, please.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for moderating, and thanks to everybody doing service. Margaret O in Connecticut. Yeah, I love this paragraph. And, you know, when I read it, and I guess I think about when I was growing up, you know, I grew up in a Roman Catholic home, very devout, and my uncle was a priest, and I had a wonderful upbringing. I had Catholic schools, and I had a good experience with all that, and it was pretty good. And, you know, though I was a child, so, you know, I was worried about monsters under the bed, and everything seemed kind of black and white, you know, so I think that maybe, I don't know, clouded my perception, like there is a loving God, because I was told, you know, don't be a naughty girl, and all this kind of thing, you know. But, you know, now that I'm an adult, 69 years old, you know, I'm just reading this, and I love this sentence. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. And, you know, this is a program of miracles. I've heard people say it before, and it sounds kind of corny and mushy, you know, like, hey, you know, and also I've heard, fake it till you make it, which, and act as if, and all this. But, you know, it's not like a magic show where I'm pretending to believe something and just like, you know, hey, fake it till you make it. I've got to feel it in my heart. And my conception of God is one that, I mean, made the universe and ordered nature and the planets and, you know, the human brain. I heard someone say on a meeting the other day, you know, created photosynthesis and the human brain and the planets don't collide, but yet knows, has counted every hair on my head. And I can lean into when I need to make a decision about food and how many ounces to, you know, eat for dinner kind of a thing. Although it's on my food plan, I just, it's, I don't know. It's kind of two different extremes, like a universal God and then a very particular, unique individual God that's aware of my life and all of my decisions and wants me to connect with him, and I call it a him, and guide and be guided by him. You know, I just and to trust him. That's the other thing, is to practice trusting God and also having patience, because with my compulsive eating, I tend to have compulsive other behaviors, you know, like compulsive decision making, or, you know, just say whatever comes to my mind without a filter at times. And if I can stay in that paused, kind of recollected, you know, state of mind, I'm so much better off in life and in programs. So thank you. Have a good day, I pay.
Thank you, Margaret O. in Connecticut. Next up, we have Lisa N., followed by Kara L.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lisa N., recovering one day at a time by God's grace and mercy here in Wisconsin. And I'm kind of excited to share this because it spoke to the miracle of this program. And if you're new, don't give up until the miracle happens, because I've, by God's grace and mercy, I've maintained an 80-pound weight loss for several years, probably 16. I don't even know anymore. But I went to visit my husband's uncle last week. And I shared on the other time meeting that I was on my way there. And at one time I had a binge over seeing this man because he didn't follow my script in a way. And so when I got home, I had a binge and for one night, thank God. And then the other day when we saw him, I hadn't seen him for a long time, and he kept mentioning how great I look, my weight loss, and then expressing to us that he couldn't stop eating a certain thing at night. And he's an older man, and his wife just passed, and he said that they were both atheists, and he said she was even more of an atheist. And he actually did believe in a higher power. And how it came up is because my husband and I pray before we eat our meals, even if we are out for a meal in a restaurant. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you have a higher power? How do you feel about my higher power, which I won't name? He said he had been raised in a Christian home as a child, but he was now an atheist. And he asked me about my program at the same time, and I said, you know, we have atheists, we have everyone is welcome to this program. And that I got to say that, I didn't get to say much more, but that I got to say that to somebody who might be sick and suffering, I have no idea, but I thought that was quite the miracle. And I really didn't have too many other words because my mind went blank. I don't know if that's ever happened to you where you wanted to speak to somebody and all of a sudden your mind went blank. And I feel like that's my higher power just saying, yeah, that's enough. So I'm just grateful for that opportunity to share with somebody who might have needed this program or would be open to a higher power and praying again. And that's all I've got. So thank you so much. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa N. in Wisconsin. Next up, I have Kara L., followed by K.S.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody who's doing service today. love this paragraph because, truthfully, yes, I did have a belief in a higher power, but it was this big higher power of, you know, works that I had read or whatnot, and did not have a personal, you know, stake in me. Why would something greater than me even care what I'm wearing that day, what I'm eating that day, you know, how I'm moving through my day? Never did it come to my mind that I might be of service to a power greater than myself. And then, you know, I worked these steps, and part of my spiritual awakening, as I remember it, was sitting, and I was dealing with a character defect of, you know, outside approval, and I just heard this voice say, "Am I not enough for you?" And I was like, oh my goodness. The turning point for me came then of every time that I decide that I know what's best, I turn away from a power greater than myself. So I started small, and I just started asking that higher power for intuitive thought inspiration on everything. Little things like, should I wear this dress or this dress? This lipstick or this lipstick? You know, should I eat this for breakfast or this for breakfast? You know, and I didn't hear anything back. I mean, you know, yes. I always wish for that burning bush moment where, you know, my higher power is speaking directly to me. But I did get an intuitive thought, and I just went with the intuition. I just practiced, much like other spiritual things that I do, meditation and yoga and whatnot. It's a practice. I'm never going to get it perfect. I have to keep practicing it. So I started weaving more throughout the day of saying things like, every time I pass the doorway, God, I invite you in. God, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. I don't know what I'm doing. And what I've learned is that the less I know, the better off my life is. So the dumber I am, and I'm trying not to figure it out, and I just say, God, please put in front of me today anything that you'd have me do to be of service. And then a lot of the overwhelm, a lot of the fixing it, a lot of the trying to figure it out kind of evaporates. And I keep saying, I don't know what I'm doing. Please put in front of me anything you need me to do in this day. And I just started, you know, really small. And I just had to keep doing it. And there's page 53 has this quote of stepping from bridge of reason to the shore of faith. And so every day I would just practice that. If I did not reason this out, if I just asked for help on it, what would that look like? And I just kept practicing and practicing. So today it's more secondhand, you know, second nature, not secondhand. It's more second nature. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Next up, I have KS, followed by Mary Lee R.
Thank you so much. This is KS from Iowa, compulsive overeater, and extremely grateful to be here today. I've heard such great shares already. My experience with this is, I call it the step two dance, and it progresses, and I learn new things, and the dancing gets smoother, and I started out awkward. I actually had to kind of redo. I had a great upbringing with a religious life. So at first I thought I didn't even have to pay attention to step two or making a relationship. I thought I already had one. But I found when I was fighting stuff that I couldn't control, that a lot of the stuff I had in my brain got in the way of what I was hearing people getting out of this step. And I think this paragraph speaks to that. Then I sort of scraped everything, went back to basics, did that whole thing with just being honest about where I was, open and then willing to believe in something that was going to have a personal relationship with me. And I always thought it was about being good. And this was not about being good. This is about sort of establishing for the first time in my life a relationship with a power greater than myself. And then defining what that means to me. And I had to kind of do some redefining, you know, to make it an accessible living part of, breathing part of my recovery in my life. And it was exactly what somebody else said. It was like, I'm in a place I don't know. I have tried everything I know. That's what got me here. My dad, we always say it's my best thinking that got me here, and that's where I was at. And so whenever I hit something, it's like, gee, I don't know. I'm really out of my league here. Then I get humble and honest, and I say, I need help with this. And sometimes the first thing is just give me some clarity about what's happening here, because I'm a little confused, especially if it's something I've done my whole life. I can't figure out why it's not working now. It worked before. But anyway, so it's just a beautiful thing. And there really are miracles. And I don't share this with everybody, but I have seen a lot of miracles. And to be in a space where you get to see miracles every day, that's a pretty cool place to be. And it only happens, I always say it happens in spite of me, not because of me. So I just encourage people to keep them, because I've done it all. I came here, I did it the straight-laced way, lost the weight quickly, kept it off for quite a while, then thought, oh, maybe I don't need that. Maybe I can, you know, just use what I learned. And I got away from it and came back. And the disease does sort of get a little stronger, and it gets a little, whatever, more powerful. So glad to be back. And no matter where you're at, I think this is just a great place to be if you're struggling with this. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, KS in Iowa. I'm just going to pause here to remind folks that we're on page 47, the first paragraph, starting with when, therefore, we speak to you of God, and finishing with our own conception, however limited it was. So we'll now continue with Marilee R. in Oregon, followed by Nancy L. J.
Good morning. This is Marilee R. in Eugene, Oregon, and a beautiful day in my neighborhood. When growing up, there was some dude in the sky that was watching, you know, whether you were, whether I was good or bad. And I, things didn't make very much sense to me as a little kid, because I heard a lot of people say one thing and do another. And when I was first blessed by coming into program, I used the acronym Good Orderly Direction for God, because I had a lot of confusion. And gradually, through the program, I developed my own, my very own conception of a higher power. And it was my divine director, my DD. And now, today, I just thank you, God. It's just everywhere. And every arch in my house has thank you, God, on it. And it just, it's such a gentle process and a reminder. And hearing people on the earlier Vision for You, some of my first sponsors were on there. And I'm just so grateful. And for me, the four G's is a daily practice for me. What the good in my day is, what the glitch in my day is, what the goal is what to fix, how to fix the glitch. And then again, what my gratitudes are. And I'm so grateful to be a part of now instead of apart from. And thank you for all the shares and the moderators, and you guys just rock. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Marilee R. in Oregon. Next up, I have Nancy L. J. in California, followed by Mary Frances W.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Nancy L. J. in California. Grateful. For me, this paragraph just says, in quotes, take it easy. Just take it easy. This was growth, but if we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere. It's hard for me to begin somewhere, because I always want to be at the top of my class. I want to come out of the gate, you know, just knowing it all. I want to be the top of Everest without doing the acclamation. And, you know, I often, you know, I have an underlying thread of being less than, and, you know, not being as good at my relationship is not like so-and-so's, or wow, I need to be more, you know, more guru-ish. And no, shush, it's all okay. I have my God of my understanding, and it's pretty dang big. It's beyond comprehension for me anymore. But I like this sentence. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. Sometimes just, you know, for me, just going with those limitations, it works anyway. And my understanding of how this program works, I don't need to understand. I just need to do it, and I reap the benefits. And a lot of times I feel like the work I put in is so minimal, and is so minimal compared to the gifts I get from my higher power. The gifts are unbelievable. And, just recently, I'm 67, I just signed up for beginning swimming. I always want to learn how to swim. I can float. I'm a world champion floater. I can dog paddle, but I don't know how to stroke, you know. I've always wanted to, and I've always been too fearful because I was embarrassed that I didn't know how to swim. I didn't know how to do it because for some reason I was supposed to be born with this information, right? And I just signed up for swimming lessons. I start next week. How precious is that? That's God. That's the, if we wish to grow, we have to begin somewhere. And I'm so grateful that I can do that today and not be paralyzed in perfectionism. So that's it. Thanks a million. Everybody have a beautiful Tuesday. And I pass. Nancy LJ, California.
Thank you, Nancy LJ in California. Next up, I have Mary Frances W. And then after Mary Frances, we'll take some more names. So especially get prepared if you've never shared before. Today's a great day to dive in.
Hi, good morning.
Mary Frances.
Hi, it's Mary Frances. Excuse me, Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania. A very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And it's raining in my neighborhood today. I am so humbled by all the shares already this morning, and I'm feeling very blessed to be on this meeting. And, you know, I believed a lot of lies about God when I came into these rooms, and I believed, you know, that I had to be this good and perfect growing up child. And I was a young woman when I came into OA. I was 28 years old. And there was no coloring outside the lines for me, and no rebellious streak in me as a teenager. And, you know, as a result, I carried a lot of things inside of me that, quote unquote, most normal kids would have, you know, been rebellious against their parents, like snuck out of the house or skipped a class or something like that. Anyway, I was so terrified, not only of my parents, but of God, what God would think of me or what would happen. I would go to hell if I did such things. And I came into OA, and one of the things I learned in OA was this idea of my own conception of God, and also this idea that I could challenge these old beliefs that I had. And that was a scary thing because the religion I was raised in was like, you believe what you're taught and that's the way it is. And the fact that I was able to not only come up with my own conception of God, which someone expressed so eloquently, is so much bigger than what my conception was. He's so much bigger than that. But that I could challenge these old beliefs, and that God is amazing. And not only is he the creator of the universe, but he cares about a personal relationship with me. He's that amazing. And yes, I call him he. That's what I'm comfortable with. But I do encourage anybody that struggles with this conception to not give up, to keep coming back, and to challenge whatever it is that you believe or don't believe. Because in order for this to work for you, you do need to believe in something that's bigger than you. We all suffer with this disease of me, and we need to get over ourselves in order to recover. So please keep coming back, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania. Okay, so now we have time to, I'm going to look at the clock here. We have time for about
Joy
four
in
more shares. Sorry,
Joy
M.
Joy M.
Wendy
M.
So Wendy M.
Darcy A.
Say that name again.
Darcy A.
Great, thank you. And where are you calling from, Darcy?
Washington State.
Great, thanks. And we'll take one more, and then we'll see where we're at.
Doreen N.
Great, thank you, Doreen N. Okay, and where are you calling from, Doreen? All right, you can share that when you speak. Okay, so I have Joy MV in California, Wendy M, Darcy A, and Doreen N. Everyone else, please mute and go ahead and Joy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Joy MV from California. Definitely.
I think we lost you there. Can you try again, Joy? Joy, we can't hear you.
Can I be heard?
Okay, now you can. Yes, please go ahead. You're saying I can definitely. Oh, can't hear you again. Joy, do you want to call back in, and I'll get you back in the lineup. So Wendy will go forward with you, and Joy will loop you back in.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service, and thank you, God, for the divinely inspired words that we read. I always say first and foremost, I don't really focus on the conception of God. Like, that just doesn't speak to me. Like, I'll say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly, right? And one thing I love to say, because it makes me feel good, is to say, God is love. So what would love say to me this morning? How would love treat me? How does love want me to be? And just like my whole body can relax when God is love, you know, because that's what we're doing here. This is just a manifestation of love. I definitely had prejudice coming in. I grew up in a family where if you believed in a particular God, you were wrong and we were right. But we thought we were super tolerant and liberal, but we weren't. Difference wasn't okay. My mind was very small when I came in. In fact, I believed that I was right about almost everything. And it's very lonely being right, and it's super lonely being perfect. And I hope you guys know I'm joking right now. But it was really lonely. And the brilliant part of this whole We Agnostics chapter is I don't know anything. Like, I don't know anything. Last night I had a very difficult conversation with someone I care about, right? And my small mind, my prejudiced mind is like, I'm out. We're out. Oh, we're done. We're done here, right? And then God says to me this morning, like, baby, you don't know anything about relationships. Just, you know, and the minute I say, I don't know anything, I get to get out of the way. I get to get out of the way. And God gets to do God's magic. And that's a brand new experience, right? Like, God, what is it you want me to learn here? And more importantly, how can I serve you today? Right? Rather than wallowing and, like, you know, taking somebody else's inventory. So So I love that. And, you know, so much of what this program is, and you use the word growth several times in this chapter, is that for me, this program is about growing up, right? I come from a pretty infantile stage of shoving food in my mouth as my solution to absolutely everything. And then we say, we're going to put the food down, and then we're going to grow. And it's not always going to be easy, right? Like sometimes it's super uncomfortable because they say you put the food down and you feel more things. You feel more jealousy, more rage, more blame, more everything, right? But we learn what this program does is it shows me how to walk with God and how to get out of the way all the time. Out of the way, what a relief. And to let God show me, literally, like you take a step and the stone appears. You take the next step and you know the stone will appear, you know. And that's what we're doing here. It's about me growing up from being a child and responding to the world in a very selfish, self-centered way, right? I'm running the show. I'm throwing tantrums when I don't get my way. And now it's like, oh, yeah. God has a way. I don't. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. Joy, are you able to jump in now? All right, we'll
can
try
you,
after. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you?
Oh, you keep kind of coming and going. Okay, we'll move forward with Darcy A. in Washington, please.
Hi, this is Darcy A. in Washington State, compulsive overeater and bulimic. And every time I share on here, I just feel my heart pound. But I feel like I need to share today. Yesterday, I was reaching out to somebody with more sobriety and abstinence than me. And I felt like she was really asking me to grow spiritually. And I, too, noticed just in this paragraph, it talks about spiritual growth. To grow, we had to begin. And then that was growth. It talks about afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which seemed entirely out of reach. But what drew me into this paragraph was it says, this applies to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. And I kind of threw out the big book when I read some of the spiritual terms the first time. I was like, I can't relate to that. I didn't even like the word God. And I had, later it talks about in this chapter, like the obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. And I had that in this book when I read it. And what's grown for me through the years is that this book really does have a lot and speaks to me. And I had to start with the conceptions that I read, like friend, spirit of the universe, sunlight of the spirit. You know, I could grasp on to that concept. And like other people have said, it's grown through the years, and it is a daily connection. And like recently, I didn't do my 30 minutes. My sponsor has asked me to do 30 minutes of quiet time and spiritual reflection and connection with a higher power. And I didn't do that because I jumped up and was doing something else. And then I got through the day. And anyway, it didn't happen. And I got the vague sense that I wasn't being too smart, but I brought up something with my husband. I was like really off the beam, you know, and it caused harm. And it just made me realize again, you know, that I just need that regular connection. I can do the 30 minutes in the morning, but I need to connect throughout the day, you know. And my higher power does speak to me, you know, when I'm not like in a voice, you know, where I hear it in my head or anything like that, but just the intuitive feelings, the when I hear other people speak, you know, that speaks to me. There's just a lot of ways that I feel that connection throughout the day. And I just need to continue with that. And like I said, it was like the whiskey and the milk. Like, anyway, I'm just grateful for the growth that I continue to have. And I was told yesterday that I need to continue to grow spiritually, and I do. You know, I need more growth. So glad to be here. Grateful for vision. Thank you, Donna. That's all.
Thank you, Darcy A. in Washington. Joy, we'll give you one more attempt here.
May I be heard? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
You can. Okay. Good morning, family. Good morning, Vision family. Let's try one more time. Joy in the California in recovery. Thank you all for the gift of this meeting and all the work that you've done to put it on. I grew up in a situation where I definitely have had a God all of my life, and it was church Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. It was just church all the time, 2 hours on Sunday school, et cetera. But my God was a judgmental God, and since that, I used to keep a calendar hooked. I remember I was so little, it was hooked to the doorknob, and I would mark off. If I had one good day, I knew that God was going to give me like 5 really bad days when my parents would fight. We would have great difficulty in the household, and I grew up in a difficult household. And so for me, God has always been a source of punishment and anger. And what Vision has given me has changed my life, because it is a sweet God, a God of love, as another member said, and a God who assists me rather than to put me down and tell me what I'm guilty of and to comment about what I haven't done and what I can't do. This God says I can, and every day I receive the strength to put the fork down and the strength to be kind when I wouldn't like to be, and when I'm not kind, to apologize and to realize that, you know, I've been a grouchy, boxy bear. And I had one of those days yesterday where I had to go around realizing that I'm not acting as love would have me act. I'm not acting in love. Here I am back to thinking I'm in charge again. This isn't going by my script. And so I am so grateful for visions, for these meetings, and for all that I've been given by this connection that I must work hard to deepen with a higher power that is so much more loving and caring. And with that, I pass. Blessings.
Thank you, Joy. And Doreen, and we've got about a minute, so if you don't mind just jumping in, that would be awesome.
A minute is perfect, Doreen, compulsive overeater. I'm here to claim my seat. I will always and forever be a compulsive overeater. I have been having a tantrum. My higher power was donuts for about a week, and I was batshit crazy, bat mood, and not seeking out God. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm spending my freaking rent money, you know, to have donuts. And it wouldn't be just two or three, it'd be a dozen a day. A dozen a day. It shows the progression of the disease. And for me, what I want to say is I'm glad that I'm grounded now. I'm starting from the beginning, from the doctor's opinion, because I have an abnormal adverse reaction to food, and I can't stop without stopping, and I just can't stop. So what I just want to say is thank you for Vision for starting my day, as opposed to going to the donut shop that's 2 minutes away. And I need access to a higher power. My higher power is now. The donuts are later. I need to stay in the present. And thank you so much for talking about God. And my God loves me no matter what, but I hate myself when
thank
I'm in these days. And I pass and I thank you, everyone.
And
Shereen,
where are you calling from?
Austin, Texas.
That's great. Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
So now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And that's Chanel T. Please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I've had it all along. Bye, Bella.
Okay. If Chanel T is not available, Dana P, could you please read that for us? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read that then. Let me just open up page 164. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I'd like to thank Team Church Tuesday for all your amazing service and for all the amazing shares today. And may your loving higher power be with you today. And if you'd like, please press star 1 to unmute so we can say the Serenity Prayer together.